5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this Moron number one?
Another riveting show. Do something good this week.
Put Moron number two on the phone.
Because you are a half a flop. You're not a full one.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good. Yes, we do. It's Friday. It's frothy time. And I'm looking forward to another big Rush Hour. How are you, Daisy? How are you feeling?
I'm going very well, Bill. Another beautiful day here in sunny Melbourne. Out of lockdown, the frothies were flowing last night. And by the sounds of that, you've started again. Well, whilst on the job.
It's not. It's a soft drink, just in case
people smart.
Phone
smart.
In over the next hour. 133353, ring now. But, Ramsey, how are you going, my friend?
He opens his mouth, the wrong words come out.
Regular?
What the hell did Billy just say now?
Regular. Great to be with you all. We've got a big show coming up. We have Sam Groff.
Regularly.
It's easy, regularly. Well, we are going to talk to Sam Groff very shortly about the finals in the Australian Open, your mate, and just see how he's going.
Yes, he's all over at the big Groffalo down there for doing some magnificent work on Nine.
He's pretty
happy with himself too, so we'll be up and into him.
Well, he's got a big, 3 weeks, and then we don't see or hear from him. Dale Finucan too, from the Melbourne Storm. We've got some questions for him. He'll be coming on the show. We've got an idiot song. Geez, Daisy, you've stuffed up a bit. We'll finish with a magnificent joke. But first of all, let's talk a bit of cricket, because we won't talk tennis. We'll talk with tennis with Sam. But some cricket, the IPL auction. Always good viewing just to see who gets what and things like that. Who's the lucky Aussies?
Well, Glenn Maxwell, the big show himself, $2.52 million, if you don't mind.
$2.5 million.
That is a lot of cash.
Wow, for what, 8 weeks or something? It's not bad, is it?
Jai Richardson got 2.48.
Jai Richardson got 2.5.
Coulton Isle got 885,000.
That changes your life, doesn't it?
Well, it'd be pretty handy. I'd give you the red hot.
Steve Smith?
The funny one, yeah. Steve Smith just took a cut to the tune of $2 million, and he's going $389,000. So I'll tell you what, though, our boy, we spoke to Finches yesterday.
Yes.
Overlooked.
How much he get?
He
can get picked up.
He's still available if you want to start a franchise and you're looking for a player.
Yeah.
He didn't get picked up, Finches. So.
And former Australian captain Michael Clark, he had this to say, which is quite interesting. We'll have a chat about it. Have a listen, do Clarkie.
The Australian 2020 captain
has not been bought.
So someone's wrong. Are the Australian selectors wrong in Aaron Finch being our 2020 captain, or is every IPL franchise wrong? In no sport on the planet, if you captain Australia, you miss out on a tournament that's got, how many teams the IPL got?
Eight.
A truckload. Don't tell me Aaron Finch is not good enough to be a part of one of those IPL teams.
There's eight teams, by the way. That's a very good question. I think the IPL franchises have got it wrong, because Finchy should be there.
He should be. He's an unbelievable player. He's out of form at the minute, but I guess that's probably what they're looking at. And if you've got other people in your team who's a captain, he's a great leader, he's a great tactician, but if you've got someone else who's in better form, it's an option. So
a couple that caught my eye, Riley Meredith. He's played about, I reckon, 10 games for Tassie down there, quick bowler, $1.4 million. Riles, that is unbelievable. Well done to you.
He'll be absolutely pumped.
And what about Dan Christian, who just goes around and plays these IPLs, and then he'll play in West Indies, and he'll play here. $850,000, if you don't mind.
Old blokes win shit. He just wins through that bloke. He's unbelievable. So well done to him. And Sachin Tendulkar's son.
Yes.
The little master. His son isn't a little master. He's a left arm quick. And he got picked up with the last selection. So
good on him.
There's a bit happening there, and as we said, poor old Finch has just missed out.
Why wouldn't he be a batsman?
Because he's obviously a better bowler.
If you're Sachin Tendulkar's son, he would have been in the backyard the whole time. Maybe he's just bowling to his old man. I don't know. Victorian batsman Will Pekoski, he's gone in for shoulder surgery, Rico. So that's, what did you say yesterday, with 4 to 6, 5 months out?
12 weeks. So whatever that works out to in months, probably We're not going to mess in here today. that was the innocuous sort of fielding injury that he had in his test debut. So a bit of bad luck for him. He doesn't seem to have gotten a very good run of it, but he'll be back. He's only a batsman. It's not going to affect him a great deal if he was a quick bowler or something of the tune to that.
Right. Joe Burns smashed 171 for Queensland. Well done, Joey, who's been out of form. So good to see him back. Just before we go, some good racing. We all like our horses and love a bit of racing. Three group one races tomorrow at Caulfield, Coco, including the Blue Diamond Stakes. You got a winner for us?
I don't have a winner for us. Do you have a winner for me?
Well, I'm not sure about the favourite. Not sure about that. So we're going to back something at odds. We're going to back Jigsaw, okay?
Okay, and as always, gamble responsibly.
Of course, at points bet you'd be doing this. And I like Bohemoth too, and that's in the Futurity. There you go. That's two winners.
There you go. Well, I don't need to come in anymore.
We've got a massive show ahead of us. Dale Finucane, the brand new co-captain of the Melbourne Storm, is going to join us a little bit later. Yes. But up next, your boy, who you play golf with every single day,
yes.
Sam Groff, is going to join us to chat tennis. It's the Rush Hour, Triple M. Dale Thomas and Billy Brownless, this is Triple M's Rush Hour.
After quarantines, hubs, crowds, no crowds, and a heckler.
Oh, a bit inebriated, I think.
We're getting down to the business end of the Australian Open.
Out of this world!
Here to tell you who's going to win the trophies, please welcome Sam Groff.
Ah, yes, there's only one man you need to go to. The bloke with the fastest serve in the world. Once took a set off Roger Federer, ooh, if you don't mind. Geez. The man who has his finger on the pulse when it comes to all things tennis, Mr. Samuel Groff, how are you, buddy?
Good, mate. I'll tell you what, I listened to the intro. It's a lot easier to pick the winner when there's only two left in the women's and three left in the men's. It heightens my odds of picking a champion a little bit more.
Well, yeah, I reckon if anyone could stuff it up, it's probably going to be you. So we'll see how that goes. But the big news, of course, at the minute was Serena Williams getting done yesterday. And, of course, she broke down in her press conference. It was interesting. What was your take on that?
I think after the match, she gave a wave to the crowd. It was a little bit prolonged. And I said in the broadcast compound, even before she went to press, that I think it could have been the last time we saw Serena Williams here in Australia. If she comes back next year, she'll be 40. So she looked fit this year. I think she put everything into trying to get herself up for this tournament. And yeah, after what we saw in press, I think there's definitely big doubts on whether she makes the trip down under again.
Well, let's have a listen to it. This is Serena at 39. Emotional Serena.
Really poignant moment when you walked off the court to a standing ovation and you put your hand over your heart. What was going through your head in that moment?
I don't know. The Aussie crowd is so amazing, so it was nice to see.
Some people wondered if this is, you were almost saying farewell.
I don't know. If I ever say farewell, I wouldn't tell anyone. So,
considering how well you've played to get to this stage, what do you feel caused that? Or was it just one of those bad days at the office?
I don't know. I'm done.
Yes, it certainly sounds like, well, you can clearly hear it in her voice. They're very upset. And one of those things is in sport, when you know you're done and you're not quite announcing it yet, it's hard to hide those emotions. So it comes to the top there. But of course, the girl who beat her, the up-and-coming superstar, Naomi Osaka, and she goes through to play Jennifer Brady.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about her apart from the fact she's in the final?
Yeah, well, Jennifer Brady, she's the poster child for hard lockdown. She did the full 15-day hard quarantine where she wasn't able to practice. So she's done incredibly well. Jeez. To come through that. And these two actually met in the US Open semifinals last year. Osaka won 6-3 in the third set. So it was a tight match. And Jennifer Brady, she's a big ball striker. I think Osaka definitely comes in as a hot favourite. I mean, you know, she was my pick before the tournament. And I think the performance against Serena has really put her well in the box seat to take this final. But Brady, I mean, she's got nothing to lose. I think coming down here, she actually did her research and understood what we actually went through here in Melbourne last year. She actually looked it up and thought, what was Melbourne like? You know, so she's really appreciated what she's had to do and enjoyed her time here. And, You know, it'd be a fairy tale story if she was able to win it after going through those couple of tough weeks.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them in there, the Bradys. Hey, what about this the semi final tonight? Medvedev taking on Tsitsipas.
Tsitsipas.
Yeah. Well, it depends where you went to school, Groffy, don't worry. Who wins that? And then can they beat Novak?
So who wins? Tsitsipas is coming from two sets to love down, wins in five against Nadal.
Yep.
His body is going to be a little sore, I'd imagine. But Medvedev, he was actually cramping during the third set of his win against Rublev. So whoever recovers the best, Medvedev has a 5-1 head-to-head. The only time he lost.
They hate each other too, don't they?
No. I don't know. You're the one telling that story, Bill. I don't know. I don't know if they hate each other. I mean, they're going to have a good rivalry for years to come.
No, they don't like each other.
Tune in tonight. It's going to be a real battle of two guys that don't like each other.
There we go.
Is that what you want me?
That's what we want. Channel 9 tonight. They don't like each other. Hey, Tennis Australia be very happy with themselves, really, to get this far. It's nearly all over. Mate, there were times there it looked like, you know, it mightn't go ahead. It's been a bloody good effort, hasn't it?
Oh, it certainly has. It's been a weird event. It was so awesome to have crowds back at the start of the tournament. We saw that match, Nick Kyrgios against Dominic Thiem. It was chock-a-block, and it was the last night that we actually had fans here. And then it was eerie around Melbourne Park for those few days when Melbourne went into lockdown. And then, you know, yesterday I think both sessions had about 5,000 people in them. So obviously not as full as we would like Rod Laver to be, but having crowds in the stands, it definitely creates an atmosphere that the players are loving, and I think we're all enjoying. And we all want to get back to that normality. So, you know, big credit to the players for doing the time they needed to come down here, and huge credit to Tennis Australia for being able to get this thing going.
Hey, well done. You've done. You've been very good too with Chompers on Channel 9. And what do you do for the next 49 weeks?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Play golf.
We actually have Roland Garros and Wimbledon on Channel 9 now, so you'll get a little bit more of me, unfortunately, for you, Bill. You have to speak a bit more tennis for a few more weeks of the year.
No, I love me tennis. Speaking of a double fault, yes, Daisy, wrap it up.
No, well, you've been fantastic, mate. Thank you very much for joining us. All the action will be tonight, that big game, 7:30 p.m. on Channel 9, and you can catch this man who is talking to us, Sam Groth, doing his best work at Melbourne Park. Sammy, thanks very much for joining us on the Rush Hour, buddy.
Thanks, gents.
Gather round to hear Wisdom Brownless. It's Billy's quote of the day.
Always carry a flagon of whiskey in case of snake bite. And furthermore, always carry a small snake. You know what that means, Daze? You just get on the whiskey.
That's great wisdom. Have you got some wisdom for a co-captain of the Melbourne Storm?
Oh, Finucane.
Dale Finucane, our boy, is going to join us next.
The bigger bomb.
Billy Brownless and Dale Thomas, this is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Our next guest is starting his seventh year at the Melbourne Storm, hoping to win his third premiership.
So Smith goes to Finucane.
Not just a league superstar, he's also quite the piano man. Please welcome Dale
Finucane.
Ooh, we'll try that again.
Please welcome Dale Finucane.
One of our favourites, Dale Finucane. He is a pianist. You wouldn't have known that, but he can play a good piano and played his 200th game in the prelim last year and then 201 games. He's 201st in the grand final. Good grand final it was. He joins us. Welcome, Dale.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the introduction.
Dale, meet Dale.
Yes, one of the greats. What an absolute pleasure, mate. Congratulations. Just been appointed co-captain of the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah, myself and Jesse Bromwich have been co-captains. Been designated co-captains this year. So I'm very proud to be able to be doing that this year.
It is a magnificent honour. So well done to you. The biggest task that you're going to have is keeping a leash on Cam Munster and the hectic cheese. How are you going to go about that? Is that why there's two of you, just so you can designate one each?
Mate, funnily enough, Cameron Munster's involved in our leadership group and Brandon's in our emerging leadership group. So
you're stuffed. Mate,
yeah. So, yeah, we're stuffed, mate. I'll keep it together.
I tell you what is interesting. Of course, you take over from Cameron Smith, who has been captain, I think, since 2005. So a long, long time. Takes two to replace him. That's what Smithy will say. Have you spoken to Smithy? And do we know what's happening with his future at all, mate?
He spoke to me this morning. He gave me a call just to congratulate me on the captaincy, obviously, with Jesse.
Yep.
Well, it was a quick phone call just to say congratulations, and not too sure what's happening with Cameron and his future. Obviously, you know, still deciding whether he's looking to play on elsewhere or what. Yep. But not too sure exactly what's going on there.
Well, your coach has come out at the press conference that you were just at, obviously getting announced, and he said, with it now being very unlikely that Cameron will be part of the Storm this year, now is the right time to promote yourself and Jesse to joint captaincy role. So it's probably seeming more likely than not, I would think, Bill, that he's certainly not going to be playing on, well, one at the Melbourne Storm, but where the future lies, nobody knows. But
maybe up in Queensland. Has he actually been training with you guys or not?
Cameron, no. Actually, I did speak to him this morning. He said he's still been up on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, right.
He's been sunny up there, I think, since when did we get there? In June, I think it was. So he's looking like a bit like a leather handbag, I think.
Obviously, to replace him is going to take a talented individual. And you've got Harry Grant. We saw a bit of him in the State of Origin. Absolute star on the rise. Will he just slot into that spot if that is vacant?
Yeah, obviously, we've got Harry Grant and Brandon Smith to play that role for us at hooker. You know, it's probably a really good thing that Harry got his opportunity to play elsewhere last year in the Tigers. And, you know, he, I think before the Dally M's were behind closed doors, was one of the top two players in that time. You know, had he not left and gone to the Tigers, he wouldn't have got that opportunity to showcase his talent. So, and he was also involved in the Origin win this year as well. So, you know, it was probably, in hindsight, a really good thing for Harry and, you know, a good headache to have for our coach and what he's going to do with that hooker role.
So the Cheese, because he was playing out of position essentially then, so he'll try and change up positions and go into that role.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how the club's going to do that. Obviously, both of them have been training at hooker. Obviously, Brandon can play that middle forward role as well because he's got a little bit more size about him as well. So, I'm not exactly sure how Craig's going to, delegate their roles.
We're talking to Dale Finucane, co-captain of the Storm. That's a bloody good honour. We go up on the honour board. You should be very happy with yourself. But I'm just reading on Wikipedia here. He is the older yet less attractive brother of the legend known as Dean P. Finucane.
someone's been tinkering with the Wikipedia, obviously.
I reckon
when
it might have been
last updated.
Might have been your brother, I reckon, Coco. The Bega Bomber. You been home to Bega?
I did. I spent bulk of the off-season back there before we had to come back, actually, with the border restrictions just over New Year's. But, spent about a month and a half back there. It was really good to get away.
And you obviously were in lockdown, and we see a little bit across your socials and the Instagram. Oh. You're a very, very talented individual.
Is he? What?
Have a listen to some of your best work. Here, Rabsy, you got the little trinket for
got the good raspberry voice, hasn't he?
He just serenaded me off to sleep there. If you
that's not through choice. That's the it sounds like I've had about 10 packs of cigarettes.
I'll tell you, it's better than Stephen Smith anyway. So, mate, when's the first game? 11th of March, and I read that you were going to play a practice game out at Casey Fields, but Newcastle said no, we're not coming down to Victoria, so you might have to go and play the game in Albury.
Yeah, we're going to relocate that game. Obviously it was going to be down here. There was talk of it being moved to Newcastle, but that's changed since, and it will be in Albury now. So probably a good way of sort of paying back. We spent a 4-week period back in Albury once the season had played two games, and we recommenced back there. So they were really good to us back there for that period of time. It's a good way to, you know, bring a trial game back for the people of Albury.
Didn't the council kick out?
I think so.
They looked after you, mate. And then your first real game, Thursday, 11th of March, Storm taking on the Rabbitohs now at Amy Park.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Obviously it's been a shorter pre-season for a lot of the boys coming back after Christmas, you know, which has been a good thing for us, but trial games are coming around quickly and can't wait to get back to Amy Park because I don't think there's been a game played here since September 2019. So really looking forward to getting back playing here and having a lot of supporters for our first game here.
And we've got no idea about crowds, obviously, yet. So we'll just hopefully and get a few of the faithful along to Amy Park, mate.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Hey, good work. Great. Always great speaking to you. Well done. Co-captain. That's a great honour. Well done to you, champ.
Thanks, fellas. Much appreciated.
Righto. See you later, Finucane now.
Congratulations, mate.
Bye.
A Melbourne Storm play their first game against the Rabbitohs Thursday the 11th of March. That's the season opener as well.
At Amy Park.
At Amy Park. With hopefully a local crowd.
Yeah. Even 5,000 would be good.
Yep. It'd be great.
You've been back for 3 weeks now, Bill. You've had three different co-hosts. Mm-hmm. You've had an idiot file from all of your stuff-ups. And, well, it's going so well that the great people here at Triple M have put together an idiot song. Have a listen to this.
We have a new host, the only player to kick 100 games for Carlton and Collingwood Football Club. To play 100 games for the Carlton Football Club.
Somebody once told me the world is going to roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.
Oh, was that about me?
She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead.
First of all, I must welcome our special guest, and it is a great privilege, even great honour.
Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb.
I'm fascinated by this. I've got no idea what cryptocurrency is.
You'll never know if you don't go.
I got asthma.
You'll never shine if you don't glow.
Hi, Jim.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play.
Okay.
Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
Gold nuggets here, there, everywhere. And then I like Eula. Put her in Seva.
Put in Seva?
That's it.
Yep, that's right. Right. So what you got, Bill? Yeah.
And my favourite is number 32, Veronica. Could have met Rover.
Not Rover.
Yes, Rover.
Could have met Rover.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go.
Tell us about the 2021 KFC AFL Super Coach Ambassadorship.
Yeah, it was
done.
I will be.
Be smoking.
You doing creme le mont.
What? Creme de la creme, maybe? Or
creme de la creme.
Mont.
And that's right, spot on there. I am Maddie. A all-star.
And all-star.
And all-star. Hey now, I'm an all-star. Good, that was good, wasn't it?
That is good.
What about Rui there having a bit of a chuckle? He loved it, old Rui.
Creme de la creme. What did you come out with?
Creme de la mort.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant stuff, and that is very, very well put together. So
yeah, well done.
I can't wait to hear what comes out next week.
That was Maddie.
Well done, Maddie.
Again.
Good work.
That was hilarious. Have you got a joke to back that up?
Not as good, no.
All right. Well, that's coming up next. On your home smart speaker.
Hey, Google.
And on your radio. This is The Rush Hour with Billy Brownless.
Yuck.
And Dale Thomas.
Oh, nah.
It's been a massive week, Daisy. Thank you for joining us this week. You've been sensational. Are you coming back?
I'll be back in a couple of weeks. So just make sure you don't stuff it up and you're still on air, Bill.
Well, guess what?
There's every chance
I'll
do that song. Well, we'll be plenty more of that.
We'll get Rui back next week.
Oh, Rui. Mm. Oh, good. Nick Revolt coming back next week. I got a joke. Sometimes mum and dad let me start.
What are you doing tonight, Billy?
Tonight, Oscar's 21st, having a couple of frothies with him.
Beautiful.
After last night, the bot with you boys. No, I'm going again.
I'm
going
to hit the opener.
In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
No, thanks to the bot yesterday, too. That was good of them, wasn't it? They just service all those beers. Hey, now, I was just down the street here before, down to the Clarendon Hotel. We were actually where we had one of every entree on the menu. And I yelled out, cow, to a lady that was riding past on a bike. Okay, she's riding a bike past. I yelled out, cow. She flipped me the bird. And guess what? She ran straight into the cow. Jesus. That's just terrible.
It just sums up where we're at the minute.
It's just terrible. Wowee. How can you tell that shit?
Have a good weekend.
Oh, Behemoth. Get on, Behemoth, the big boy.